Let's try to see within ourselves that I, spirit, is all there is. And whatever is not I, spirit, is non-existent. Now we find a false consciousness begins to interpret I, spirit. The false consciousness is non-existent. But it thinks of itself as being real. And as it interprets I, spirit, it only interprets that which it is able to receive. And being a false consciousness, it can only receive a false impression. And its false impression of I, spirit, is going to become what you call your form. That form ages and dies. That is your false image. And as that form ages and dies, another false consciousness will now take another look at I, spirit, and form another form which will age and die. And this continuous reincarnation now reaches the place of a Jesus, who says, let's put a stop to this false consciousness and the changing image it creates, which is destined to always die. Whoever believes on me, whoever believes my teaching, will not die. And now this I finds there is no false consciousness to receive it, but instead there is a consciousness of spirit called a Christ consciousness. And the form that now appears is not destined to die, and it has the name called Jesus. And this Christ consciousness, which is outpictured to us as a form called Jesus, is demonstrating that the form that I am producing does not die, because I am not a false consciousness receiving a false impression about spirit and then outpicturing that as a false form. I am Christ itself. I am the spirit outpicturing itself. I and the spirit are one and the same. We are not giving you an impression. This is a spiritual form which you are perceiving as a physical form. And this spiritual form was demonstrated to you on the Mount of Transfiguration as pure light. It is not a physical form. And even now as you look at this pure light, you perceive a physical form. The error is in you, not in the consciousness that is out picturing the pure spiritual form. And this form will never die. Men will only pick up the images in their own mind and put it in a coffin. This invisible spiritual form can never die. There is no physical form. The physical form is your own consciousness outpictured, your own false sense of the spirit. And then, as it is demonstrated that this physical form, which allegedly was buried, appears again, that which was already stated, that I will return, is completed. and the revelation that there is a kind of form different than the physical form of men. The physical form of men does die and does not return in that same form. This form did, and therefore it is a different form than the physical form of men that we know. That form was the outpicturing of the Christ consciousness. And only that form, which is the outpicturing of the Christ consciousness, demonstrates the continuity of life eternal, so that it reappears as the very same form which allegedly had died. Your form and my form in our present appearance cannot do this. But your form and my form, when we have reached the Christ consciousness, will do this. But it will do better. It will simply be a continuity of that consciousness. And without the need to instruct the world about it, we will simply continue to live in that consciousness, which outpictures perfect form without interruption. Now, the inner teaching here was given by Jesus before he went through the crucifixion. And the reason we have not been able to understand it was also given to him in advance, by him in advance. There are just a few passages needed to open us to this understanding. Let's look at several of them, and you can then differentiate the truth from the lie and see why it was so difficult for even the disciples to understand it, and why those who followed have been unable to, for the main, give us the truth which some on this earth have at present. We'll just look at John. John was the youngest disciple, and it was not given to him at the time to take over the disciples after Jesus left. It was given to Peter. But John was always the one who seemed closest to the understanding of what was really happening in the invisible. And so we find in John this statement. We're in the 16th chapter. And in this 22nd verse, Jesus says, "And now ye have sorrow." He's talking to his disciples. "But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. This was the promise, that I shall see you again." How did he know he could keep that promise? Because the one who made the promise was not Jesus. The one who made the promise was the Spirit, saying to the disciples, "I shall see you again." And of course the Spirit would see them again, because the Spirit wasn't going anywhere. That which they called Jesus would go, but the Spirit would ever be there, and they would become aware of it again within themselves. And this would be how I, Spirit, will see you again. And as they became aware of it within themselves, they were receiving that spirit of truth. Now, when you try to understand the New Testament without having received that spirit of truth, you're in the position of the various religions of this world which went to war many times because another religion disapproved of their way. And so they defended their way by war and destruction and blood, proving that it wasn't the right way to begin with. Until the spirit of truth is received in your consciousness, you're going to say again and again, what is the truth and what is the lie? How do I know this and how do I know that? And so the only interpreter of the truth has to be the spirit itself in you. And so we have all kinds of religions without the spirit of truth. All kinds of ways to truth, but there are no ways to truth. There's only truth. Truth is all that exists. And it all comes down to the fact that as long as there's a person looking for the truth, you have the lie looking for the truth, and the lie will not find the truth. And always, the lie is the person who is looking for the truth. In the Christ teaching, there is no such person. And until you receive this realization that the person seeking the truth is the lie itself, the lie will continue to not find the truth. You must crucify the lie. You must crucify the person. And the human mind just shuns this as if it were a snake. The Spirit says, I will see you again. And it says it to you 70 times 7 if necessary, until something in you says, that Spirit which says, I will see you again, is telling me to release my concept of being a human self so that I may know I am the Spirit, that I may receive that Spirit of truth which I am. And then there's nothing to be explained in the whole Bible to you, because the Spirit of truth is the invisible Bible. Now watch how this theme, which is so difficult, is constantly put up before the disciples, and each time they look at it, there is a me called Peter, a me called Nathaniel, a me called Andrew, a me called Matthew, and they are all trying to understand the I of being within themselves, which appears before them as a physical Jesus. And always the me can never understand the I. But when me is no longer there, then only I am there, and that is the self realized. The Spirit says, I must go away now. I've come to you as a physical form called Jesus, but there's a limit to what you can learn from that. And so I will leave, but I will send one who will help you, who will tell you things that I have not told you. And this one will be the Spirit of truth of the Father. And the disciples do not understand that. They want Jesus. They know what he can do. The Spirit of truth, that's an abstraction to them. But yet the Spirit of truth is the reality of Peter, the reality of Nathaniel, the reality of Andrew, the reality of John, the reality of you. And always the unreality of you is piercing that reality by looking elsewhere, looking to a man called Jesus who says, no, no, let go. Don't cling to me. And he's saying, get out of the false sense of you which needs a me. Get out of the false sense of you which has to look outside of yourself. And the Spirit of Truth which will come to you will be your very own true being. Always, he is closing the gap between the dual nature of the human creature. And then later on, your Father loveth you. Now take those words apart and see them for what they mean. The Spirit of Truth is the Father. And what does it mean that the Father loveth you? He's revealing their nature as that very Spirit of Truth which is the Father. They don't need love external to themselves, but not knowing themselves, they think they do. If they knew themselves to be the Spirit, then all that the Spirit is, its love would be their very own being. He is turning them to themselves. Do you see how the world has rejected that? How the world, being turned to itself, preferred instead to crucify that understanding? Do you see how we have squirmed and wriggled away from that and have tended, without realizing, to crucify? The way we have crucified the one that we are is by insisting that we are a different one. As long as we continue to walk in the belief that we are this one that you see, we are crucifying the Christ. And as long as this one keeps looking for the truth, he is denying that the Christ is the truth. Now, where do you stand still to behold the salvation of the Lord? Where does that take place? That takes place in heaven, for that's where we find the Spirit, our Father which art in heaven. And so heaven is the place where you are willing to die to what you are not but seem to be, and accept what you are but do not appear to be. That is the beginning of heaven. That is the beginning of truth. That is the beginning of the mansions. And that is the beginning of that life which is protected in the reality of its own being. Now, look at this again and see that when there is a demonstration called resurrection, you are watching a demonstration of the illusion of death. Not an overcoming of actual death, but an overcoming of the illusion of death. And the overcoming of the illusion of death is the revelation of the eternal nature of your life. But this wasn't the overcoming of a head cold, of a backache. It was the overcoming of anything unlike life. And therefore, in one fell swoop, it is the overcoming of the illusion of sickness. It is the overcoming of the illusion of disease. It is the overcoming of the illusion of all things which contribute to the ultimate belief in death. It is an all-embracing revelation of the illusion of the material experience. But if we do not accept the revelation of the illusion of the material experience, then we continue to walk in the false self which knows death. You can't just walk around this feast and say, I'll take a little of this and a little of that. You can make a smorgasbord out of Christ. The fact is that Christ is all there is. And you can't pick. You either accept this invisible spiritual reality as the only, or you don't. There's no halfway. And only when you do, do you receive the Spirit of Truth, which gives you the intelligence and the wisdom to understand what you have accepted on faith. You don't have the intelligence when you start. The Spirit of Truth cannot enter the human brain. And all of our desires to have God come down and point out some things that we'd like to know before we make our step, it doesn't work. There has to be this great, dedicated faith which says, well, there it is, I see it. And if I don't even understand it, I see what's happening. There's a message there for me, and I can't prove it. Peter couldn't prove it, but he learned to accept it. And after he accepted it, then the Spirit of Truth descended. He had opened the door first. And if you find that the Spirit of Truth hasn't descended, you haven't accepted it, and you're waiting for the Spirit to descend before you accept it. And it's going to be a very long wait. It doesn't work that way. Once we have accepted it, even intellectually, that I am living spirit, and therefore I do not live in time or space or body, and my life is independent of form, well, I don't feel myself out there, but I accept it. I must accept it before I can begin to feel it. You've accepted other things before you knew about them. When you were a child, growing up and learning mathematics, you accepted there was such a thing, and you went in with perfect faith to learn about it. Suppose you didn't accept it and said, oh, well, there is no such thing. You'd never have learned it. In fact, everything you've learned has been because you accepted that it existed and then you went out and learned about it. But first you accepted that it existed. And now to accept that there is an invisible spiritual self called Christ is prerequisite to experiencing it. You can stand on the brink and discuss it all day. The Spirit of Truth will not enter. But it is the Spirit of Truth that can tell you those things which Jesus said to his disciples, there is more to tell you, but you cannot bear it yet. Only the Spirit of Truth can tell you those more things. There's a place where I know I feel a wall. There's just no place further to go with a certain kind of person than that place up to which now it's up to you to say, yes, there is an invisible self that I am. And until you come to that, there's not a word that will be as important as that inner revelation. And only that inner revelation can give you what the Master called truth. He didn't say read the Bible even. There is a place beyond which I cannot go, he said. And so I am leaving you. And that was the cue for every reader to say, there is a place beyond which I cannot advance until I turn to that inner self that he is going to reveal as the self of all men. And when I turn to that inner self, I must let go of this one. I cannot be that and this. I must begin to work with my invisible self in such a way that I am leaving the concept of a temporary being and accepting my eternal self right here. I must live in that eternal self, for there the Spirit of Truth makes its home. There is the voice. There is the wisdom. There is the real truth that makes you free. You see why it said that Moses only took his people up to the promised land but not in? Same as Jesus here. There is no truth that mind communicates to mind that will free you. The truth that frees is communicated from the Christ of your own being to and through what you have called your human consciousness. And this is how you get out of the tomb of a mortal who dies. Now I can assure you that if you haven't up to this point felt the presence of the Spirit, that where we have gone is too far for your present level of development. I can assure you, if you have felt the presence of Spirit, then there's nothing we could possibly do that would be too far for your level of development. The presence of Spirit realized in you is the magic key to all of your future progression. And if that has not happened, then every moment that you spend to unveil that Spirit of Truth in you should be your one and only spiritual goal. From that point on, you don't have a goal. That Spirit of Truth in you says, I am the way. I am the truth. And if you're looking for other truth, you're missing the truth. I am the truth. Only I in you is the truth. Jesus was pushing his disciples almost bodily into that realization. He wanted them to carry his message throughout the world. Significantly, he didn't write a single word down. What did he leave? Not one word. Why? Because he knew that the words of a man are not the truth. The words of a Jesus are not the truth. The only truth is the word of the Spirit of Truth in you. That's the power of the word. It carries more than the word that says truth. It carries the power of the truth, the substance of the truth, the activity and law of the truth. And all of these must accompany the truth to be the truth. The truth must embrace its own power, its own effect, its own law, its own universe. Truth isn't a word that you speak with your mouth. Truth is infinite omnipotence expressing itself, enforcing itself, maintaining itself. Let us come out of human concepts of truth, for they are superficial and shallow. There is only divine truth. And divine truth is not waiting for human minds to understand it. It's waiting for human minds to move away and say, "Work your magic within me." And so he pushed them and pushed them and pushed them, even to the point of self-annihilation. When he said, "Love one another as I have loved you," the love he showed is that he laid down all physical concept of self. That was the kind of love we were looking at. For if he didn't lay down all physical concept of self, they would still be worshipping a physical concept. And that was the love that we were told to love one another with. And so I must lay down my physical concept of you and of me. For that's the only way I can love as he loved us. He laid down a physical concept of self to show there's only a spiritual reality present. And we must do the same. And as we do the same, we are born into the Spirit. And then you won't say, "What is the truth and what is the lie?" You'll say, "I am the truth. And what I am not must be the lie. All that I am is truth." And therefore, whatever I am, being truth, must be perfect and harmonious. If it's not perfect and harmonious, it can't be the truth. It's the lie. Whatever in your life is not perfect and harmonious is not the truth. It is the lie. And it exists only because there is still a divided sense of self. The lie is always the outpicturing of that consciousness which is not the true spiritual you. And that is why we have an outpicturing, so we can see with our eyes that which is to be corrected, adjusted. That is why there was a Jesus, so the world could see with their eyes that which they could not detect in their consciousness. And that which they saw was Jesus, which was really living with them outwardly as the spirit of themselves inwardly, to show them there was such a thing as an inward spirit. And then, with that mission completed, goodbye. You have no need of this outer Jesus anymore. Because outer Jesus is only the revelation of your inner spirit. And now live in that spirit. Get out of the tomb of a me who is looking for truth. There isn't any to find for a me. Get out of the lie, and the lie is me. That's the lie. Get out of me, for there never was a me. There is only I, the invisible Christ. Now, there are passages we could look at, but I feel at this moment that if you will renew your contact with what you have called empty space and feel, that you are a false consciousness moving in the fullness of spirit and rest until the fullness of spirit dispels that false consciousness. You will be duplicating in that experience, in a small way, the complete pageant of crucifixion and resurrection. You will find you have entered into one of the most joyous stages of your work. You are truly passing from human consciousness to spiritual reality. As this deepens, the thunder of silence becomes the living spirit of truth that awakens you to the kingdom present on earth. You find that the pure, perfect heaven on earth has been obscured by the false sense of a me. Mortality was the tomb. The rising is simply coming out of mortality into the experience of the kingdom of God within you. There is less of a me, there is less of a will, less of a desire, less of any human needs. There is more of a knowing that the Father within is just another way of saying that I am the Spirit of God. There is a willingness to live in this somewhat difficult stage for a while, because the transition was never from crucifixion to ascension. There had to be the intermediary stage. It's the waiting period. It's the testing period. And that's one of the reasons why, in resurrection, Jesus did not appear immediately to his own disciples. The world had to see how lost they were. The world had to see that without the Spirit of Truth in them, even though they had 3 years of teaching from the Master, they were in a state of fear and confusion. And the world had to see that without the Spirit of Truth in us, we too, no matter how much truth we have from anyone, we're always in a state of unknowing the truth. Even with the greatest masters in our midst, until we too have found the Master within, then the fear is gone, the confusion is gone. Then we can come out and proclaim openly, yes, I follow the Christ. Then we're not concerned about world opinions. Once we have found what we have sought as the substance of all being, then we're no longer concerned what mortal man can do to me, what mortal condition can do. And if you have that feeling now that you're not concerned about the world, you're not concerned about its threats, you're not concerned about lacks and limitations, then be sure it is because you have felt this invisible reality, which is revealed as that which can never be crucified or entombed. The remainder of your teaching must come as this. This spirit of truth unfolds itself to you through the thunder of silence. That silence is really your withdrawal from the world of the mind, from the world of matter, from the two thieves on the cross, and the tomb in which they have buried each individual on this earth. Even to the last second, all materialism was removed, even the clothes, the garments. They fought about his garments until there were none left. Why? There was nothing left of a material nature, not a word nor a garment. All that existed was the pure spirit. No matter to idolize. He was revealing that he was spirit alone, totally pure spirit. The last remnant of human consciousness was gone. If you believe on this, you have learned the truth of yourself. Pure spirit. And so we have a measure of our eternal self revealed to us. That is what we should be taking into what is called the year 1970. You have by now probably ripped up your calendars in consciousness and know that the only year ahead is the year of spirit. And if you walk into this year of spirit with the knowledge that I am spirit and learn to be faithful to this knowledge, it will be a totally different decade for you than for those who walk into it as man of flesh. You will discover that there is no year 1970, 1, 2, or 3. You'll find yourself walking in the timelessness of the Spirit. And even the years that have come up to this point will drop away, and you'll see that they never happened except in the false consciousness of the two thieves that have run your sense of life. Really, time ceases to have the significance or the power to fool us. And so 1970 for us, as we walk in the Spirit, becomes a grand opportunity to show the degree to which we have stepped out of the tomb of mind and matter, using the outer events of the day as a mirror in which we determine our spiritual progress, making the adjustments within when we see the lie without. Until you find the law of multiplication of spirit functioning in you as it did for the multitudes when Christ was revealed as present invisibly on the earth. That same Christ accepted as your being becomes your total law of harmony. And you find the faith that enabled you to accept this Christ deepens beyond faith itself. The next 10 years for man are going to be quite a shock for some. And for some, they're going to be a most unusual experience. Be sure that we are not being prepared idly. We're going to need all of this preparation. Spirit is ever aware of what it is doing and ever fulfilling its purpose in its perfect way. If you have reached that place now where to you the spiritual universe is a reality, it was necessary that you come into this realization before certain other things in the material world take place. The two covenants, which form, I think, the first chapter of Thunder of Silence, and all that follows in the next 19 weeks, if that's what it is, I think it's 19, will be aimed at one goal: to release you finally into the knowledge that all dominion of your life rests within yourself. There is no outer force that has power over the reality of you. And if in the 19 weeks that follow you can come into this ability to rest in the dominion of your own true self, you will have demonstrated that you have come far out of the tomb in which mankind still appears to be resting. I wish you all the very best for this coming year. To those of you who have felt the progress within yourself over the past years, I can only say that nothing in this whole world could be more important to the spirit than the realization in you that you are the living child of God. Be sure that whatever you feel in that progress is appreciated in many places that you know not of. Your life is independent of what you had called your form. Live in that life and not in that form, consciously. Thanks very much, and I hope to see you next year.